Preparing your heart today on The Balanced Word.
No one decides, you know what would be really cool to do with my life is to be a homeless person and just to have nothing, or to run a business into debt and destroy my family's lives. Or, you know, what I've always aspired to be is a divorced person, you know, or somebody with kids that nobody cares about. Nobody starts out to plan that way, but we make the decisions a little at a time that end up bringing us right to that point. And the problem with Rehoboam and the problem with many of us much of the time is that we don't think about preparation. We don't think about what we do now has consequences later. And so life just surprises us. Life just sneaks up on us and we say, where did that come from?
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day, wake up my hands and the instrument I play, wake up my voice, let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
We all know that sinking feeling when we're not prepared, whether it's test time in school, a presentation at work, or a sermon that needs to be delivered on Sunday. But even more tragic is when we're not prepared spiritually. Today on The Balanced Word, we'll meet a man who lived his entire life unprepared, and it cost him dearly in the end. We're given the summary of his life in 2 Chronicles chapter 12. That's where we join Pastor Dave Rolfe, who wants to stress the importance of preparing our heart to seek the Lord.
It's a terrible feeling to be in a situation where you're just not prepared. Someone who's very close to me, I just won't say who because he may not want me to share it, but had a test the other day, a chemistry test in college, and showed up happy to be at class, enjoys the class, but when he got into the class, he realized everyone else there knew something that he didn't know. It was test day. And there was a test, and what's worse, not only had he not studied for the test, but it was an open note test, and he didn't have his notes. I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's an awful feeling. It takes you a while to get over it. I can remember times when I just walked in and it just panic struck because, oh no. For me, sometimes it's I had a close call this weekend, Friday night. I was really tired. It was a long day, and I was going up to bed fairly early, 10:30, 11 o'clock, and Ann said, Dave, aren't you doing something tomorrow? And I said, no, it's just a relaxing day. I'm just going to loaf around and work on my message for Sunday and everything. She goes, I'm sure you told me that you were doing something. I said, well, tomorrow night, Saturday night, I'm going to go over in somebody's house and watch the Ultimate Fighting Championship, but I know that the day is free. And I'm sorry that still stumbles some of you. Get used to it. But I thought, you know, all humor, Anne. And so I pulled out my Palm Pilot and look, and lo and behold, I'm speaking for a men's breakfast out in Temecula. And I was just going, oh, Anne, thanks. Because I've had those experiences where you get a call and you're hours away from where you're supposed to be. Oh, no. Or one time I went to speak at the wrong church. I had it in my schedule that I was supposed to speak at this church, but I was supposed to be speaking somewhere else. It's an awful feeling. One time I walked into the office over at Calvary Chapel and they said, I thought you were speaking up at the Bible College in Twin Peaks this morning. Am I? Well, Dave, it's like 45 minutes until you're supposed to start, and 45 minutes to get to the conference center from Costa Mesa was a real stretch, and I made it. Usually takes an hour and a half, but it was one of those days when God blessed, and I hit every signal green, I hit stop signs green, I hit everything green. But it's a bad feeling when you find yourself in a situation where all of a sudden you go, oh no, I forgot, I didn't prepare, I'm stuck. If you've never been in that spot, maybe you even had those horrible dreams, those nightmares when you wake up in a cold sweat and you've just been there as a kid in school, in your underwear, you forgot to get dressed and it's like, ah, no. It's a bad thing to be unprepared, but this guy Rehoboam, that was the way he lived his life. The guy was just never ready. When Solomon died and left him the throne, everyone said, Solomon even said, my son Rehoboam's really lame. He is not going to be very good at this, but he's going to become the king. He's young and inexperienced, but sorry, here's your king. When he became king, most of the kingdom came to talk to him, their representatives, as we saw last Sunday. And they asked him, could you give us a break? Your dad was pretty hard on us. And rather than having a wise answer, as Solomon always would have, Rehoboam said, can I have 3 days to answer? And then he went and got advice from different advisors, and he took the worst possible advice that he could have, made the wrong choice. And here, Rehoboam, welcome to the kingdom. He has split the great kingdom of Israel in half. He just wasn't prepared. He just wasn't ready. And we see as his career goes on, bad things happen at different times, and he's just not prepared. And he, in chapter 12, we see the king of Egypt come marching up from the south and just ransack the kingdom. Oh, when it gets really bad, Rehoboam cries out to God and asks for help, and God says, I'll bail you out. But at the same time, you've never asked for wisdom like your dad did. And because of it, you'll squeak by, but you're not going to experience what I want you to experience. And ultimately, the tragic life of Rehoboam winds up in verse 14 of chapter 12 with this epitaph. And how would you like for this to be said about your life when it's all over? It says, and he did evil because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. He did good things some of the time. Back in verse 12, it said, when he humbled himself, the wrath of the Lord turned from him so as not to destroy him completely. And things also went well in Judah for a while. But Rehoboam, when it came down to the summary of his life, it was a life about which it was said he was evil. It wasn't evil because he wanted to be evil, intended to be evil. He became evil because of something that he didn't do, a sin of omission. He did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. And as a result, by default, he was evil. There are some people nowadays who just decide they're going to be evil. And so they intentionally do evil things. And, you know, every once in a while, somebody gets a lot of publicity for just being intentionally evil. Oh, I want to be evil. But for the most part, it's that sin nature that we inherited that if we don't do something to stop it, our natural inclination, doing what comes naturally, becomes doing something that leads to something very destructive and hurtful and evil. I know some people who've done some very evil things. Some of them I know very well, like me. But almost every case, when people are doing evil, they never thought, they never planned, they didn't think they were going to do evil. In fact, most of the time, they think they're doing good. And you're in the middle of trying to do good, and the next thing you know, you're not paying attention. And you find yourself doing something that you said you'd never do. You swore you'd never sink that low or go that far. And you're just going, I don't know what happened. Well, that's Rehoboam. Because he didn't do what he was supposed to do, prepare his heart to seek the Lord, his life, ultimately, at the end, it was evil. It was bad. Bad by default. Bad by omission. Bad because he just never got himself prepared, never got himself ready. Now, when it talks about preparation of a life, it involves this concept that should accompany maturity. The concept of deferred gratification. See, when we're a little kid, we expect to have immediate results. So when we're hungry, we cry and we expect the food to be there. But it's frustrating and you cry harder when it takes a little while for the food to be prepared. So for all of us, as we get older, the same kind of thing happens. We do the right thing once and it doesn't immediately pay off. And so now here we are going, that doesn't work. It's one of the reasons why we can continue to do things that are destructive, because they don't immediately destroy us. Adam and Eve in the garden, God said, if you eat that fruit, you're going to die. And they took a bite of it, and they're like, not dead. not realizing that the process of death was beginning to work in their lives now. They were starting to deteriorate, and spiritually they were separated from God. But it didn't have immediate consequences, and they didn't have the maturity to understand that some of the things that we do today are for the purpose of somewhere down the road, that the good things that we do will be rewarded someday and the bad things that we do will be punished someday. It's natural consequences, but it takes time. And it's a step of maturity when we learn deferred gratification. That is, I learn to understand that if I do the right thing now, someday it's going to pay off. It's why we have to make kids go to school, because at a young age, they can't understand or even comprehend that the fact that they go to school and do well in school now is going to give them a much better life later. We just don't look at it that way. We don't think that far ahead sometimes. All I know is I go to school today and I was bored today. So school stinks. I don't want to do it anymore. And yet, as we grow up, we need to understand the concept of preparation, the concept of doing things for later. Now, if everything had immediate consequences, it'd be much easier to do the right thing. Last night, I was over at a friend's house, and they had way too much food. But, you know, I'm here, hey, there's a fight that's coming up, and there's a bunch of guys around, and, you know, only one woman there just to clean things up and keep the food coming. And I was like, hey, this is great. And so they brought all these steaks out, and whew, they were good. They were huge. I made myself feel good. The steak was like a foot long, and I cut like a, you know, 2-3 inches off and just ate 10 inches of it. But I was like, man, that was good. Put some more steak sauce on it. What do you want, A1 barbecue sauce? Yeah, all. Just, you know, dump it all on. Good steaks. But then they brought out the burgers. I was like, man, a burger, that sounds good. Sign me up. Big, huge burger. In the meantime, there was some salsa that was so hot that it just made your head sweat instantly, your nose run, and I'm like, yeah, and some really good chips. And I'm shoveling salsa into my mouth, but then there's these other Ruffles chips with some other dip that's really good too, and I'm eating that, and then the dreaded, you know, M&Ms with peanuts are there in a bowl, and I'm just like, just stuffing my face, just to, like, oh, man. You know what? If the first bite had made me sick, if the first bite had caused my stomach to bloat, my blood sugar to soar, you know, I wouldn't have taken the second bite. But what happens is it takes time for consequences to have an effect. And so, as a result, last night when I should have been sleeping soundly, okay, there was some soundly to it, but but my stomach's kind of churning, and every once in a while, the taste of everything I ate would just complete. I'll spare you the details, but you're laying in bed going, what was I thinking, eating all that stuff? Well, what happens is when you eat it, it feels really good. You don't want to believe that, hey, in a few hours, you're going to pay for this. But, you know, that's the way life is. Most of the things that we do that are for the sake of preparation, they don't happen instantly. We don't see immediate results. And so, you know, no one starts out thinking, you know what I want to do with my life? Someday I want to be 400 pounds. Someday what I want to be the person that when they get on the elevator, it starts beeping right away, like, no way, we can't do this. Nobody plans that. No one decides, you know what would be really cool to do with my life is to be a homeless person and just to have nothing or to run a business into debt and destroy my family's lives. Or, you know, what I've always aspired to be is a divorced person, you know, or somebody with kids that nobody cares about. Nobody starts out to plan that way, but we make the decisions a little at a time that end up bringing us right to that point. The problem with Rehoboam and the problem with many of us much of the time is that we don't think about preparation. We don't think about what we do now has consequences later. And so life just surprises us. Life just sneaks up on us and we say, where did that come from? Oh, if you're a boxing fan. You can watch the good boxers and you can decide, you know what? I think I could be a boxer. So first thing I need to do is I need to come up with a really gruesome nickname. And so the killer, the strangler, the bruiser, or something like that. And then have it stitched into this beautiful robe and have tassels coming from my shoes, fancy trunks. And I need to practice being interviewed so that I can sound really intimidating. And then I'm going to get myself to where I can jump over the top rope when I come in the ring and then do a backflip. That'll impress people. And then I really need to work on my stare, that mean look across the ring that'll just cause anyone to shudder. And then when the two fighters come to the middle of the ring and hear the instructions, man, I'm going to be growling and intimidating so much. This is going to be really good. And then you get to that day, and sure enough, it's working all like you planned until the bell rings and you realize, uh-oh, I never learned to box. I have no idea. How do you hit someone? How does this? Man, you looked really good, but somehow something was left by the wayside. And the truth is, in many of our lives spiritually, we find ourselves in that kind of a spot where we're going through the motions, we're looking good, everything seems okay, but really we've neglected the most important preparations, and we find ourselves in a situation, a trial, a temptation, a testing, and the scripture isn't there. And the results of a prepared life, it's not there. And we feel like, oh, shoot, what do I do now? What's happening? The prepared life is something that if we don't have it, we're going to be a victim. If we don't plan, we're basically planning to fail. That's what it comes down to. Now, as opposed to Rehoboam here, Ezra was a guy, we'll be studying him next after we finish Chronicles. Ezra is a guy that God raised up to lead the rebuilding of the temple there in Jerusalem. And we read over in Ezra chapter 7, we get a different picture of this guy as a leader. Ezra chapter 7, it says in verse 6, this Ezra came up from Babylon, and he was a skilled scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. So he was a skilled guy who had really studied the word. And down in verse 10, it says, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. There in Babylon, everyone thought to study the law was kind of a dumb thing to do. We don't have a temple. The temple's been destroyed. We're living here in Babylon. We've been here for a long time. What's the point in studying? And yet here's Ezra, this guy who by the Babylonians' standard was a nerd, studying something that had no practical application at all. And yet he was pouring through the law of God. He was learning what God had to say. So boom, all of a sudden the door is open. You can go back to Jerusalem, and he was ready. And his heart had been prepared. See, we don't know what's going to happen in the future. But if we want to be prepared, our hearts need to be prepared. And that preparation is studying the Word of God, for one thing, knowing what it says. It's too late when you get into the spot. You know, there have been times, I'm sure you've experienced this, where you find yourself in a situation and somebody asks a question and it's perfect. You were just reading a scripture verse yesterday that addresses that issue, or you just heard a Bible study on K-Wave just a few minutes ago and they dealt with that, and you're just so happy to be able to share that which God had placed in there. But you've also, like me, been in a spot where someone asks you a question and you're like, I know it says something somewhere. Where is that in the Bible, or is it in the Constitution? What's the... And, you know, instead of going, you know what God says, here it is, we're like, panicking, going, I know it's in here somewhere. Hang on just a second. I have a my concordance. Oh, no, it doesn't have that word. What other word might be? And we're feeling like, oh, man. If I had only studied beforehand, if I had known what was coming, I would have been prepared. But that's why it's so important to let God prepare us, because he does know what's coming. And if we just keep doing things the way we're doing them, we're not going to be ready for what he wants to do in our lives. Jesus, one day, he had given the disciples the power to go do some healing and to cast out demons. And so the disciples were enjoying that, kind of tripping out on it, and it was a nice thing to be able to do, help people that way. But one time they came across this boy and they couldn't cast the demons out of the kid. And so the kid's dad finally goes, "You guys don't know what you're doing. I need to go to your manager. Where's your boss?" And came to Jesus and, "Jesus, my son's demon possessed and these guys of yours, your assistants, they're just not cutting it. It's not helping." And Jesus just with a word cast the demons out. And afterwards, the disciples came to him and said, "Okay, how'd you do that? Did we have the terminology down? Did we say the wrong thing? How come you were able to do it so easily and we were not able to do it?" And Jesus said, "This kind doesn't come out except by prayer and fasting." Now, Jesus didn't, when he was confronted with the demoniac, he didn't say, "Hang on just a minute. I need to pray." He didn't even pray. He didn't say, "Oh, okay, wait a minute, I'm going to fast. When I start feeling a little hungrier, I think we can do this." No, prayer and fasting had just been a normal part of his life. And so his heart was prepared to do what was going to need to be done. He was prepared ahead of time. What he was telling the disciples is, "Why don't you get ready and train as a matter of course, as a matter of life. And then you'll find out when the situation arrives, you'll be ready to do what you need to do." There are some things that you'd think, "I don't know how to prepare for what's going to happen." Well, what needs to be prepared is you, your heart, my heart. And then we'll be ready for things that we would have thought we could never have handled. Because God got us ready. He trained us. He prepared us. Laziness and neglect, these are things that will completely get your life off track ultimately. Not dealing with those problems, not dealing with the disciplines of the Christian life, prayer and fasting and giving and all of these things, meditation, things that the Bible assumes that we should do. And yet if we don't do them, we'll find out we're not ready for what's coming in the future. Preparation is so important.
We'll get right back to Pastor Dave Rolfe, so keep it right here for more on The Balanced Word. We're in the middle of a study in 2 Chronicles right now. Today's message called Preparing Your Heart can be heard again at TheBalancedWord.com. TheBalancedWord.com. We'd also like to offer you Pastor Dave's Through the Bible series on a USB thumb drive for a gift of $20 or more. Go through the Bible with Dave by ordering this special series today. Call 949-362-7475 or go to TheBalancedWord.com. Your gifts help to make these shows possible on stations like this one all across the nation. So thank you for standing with us with either a one-time gift or ongoing monthly support. Donations can be made at TheBalancedWord.com or again call 949-362-7475. Have you seen Pastor Dave's one-minute messages? Watch and listen to those at TheBalancedWord.com and even join our mailing list so you can have them delivered to you each day. You can also watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. We'd love to have you join us for a Sunday service at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our service times on Sunday morning are now at 8 and 10. Directions and more information about the church can be found online at ccpacifichills.org. And you can watch our live stream there too. ccpacifichills.org. If we can pray for you in any way, we ask that you contact us through TheBalancedWord.com or call us at 949-362-7475. Now with the final point of application, here's Pastor Dave once again.
Preparation of his heart. His heart wasn't prepared. Didn't prepare his heart. The heart biblically refers to the center of who you are. The real you. It's as opposed to the surface. There's a you that you kind of present out there on the fringes, a you that you want people to believe in. But the heart is who you really are deep down inside. This is your nature. This is the real you. It's what, again, the children of Israel were commanded in Deuteronomy 6 to love the Lord your God with all your heart. That is, with everything that you are. What the heart means is it's saying, forget all that stuff that you're faking. Forget all of those things in which you're trying to depict yourself in a way that isn't real. All that phoniness, all of that lack of integrity, that hypocrisy, get it out of the way and get to the heart. Your heart needs to be prepared. You need to be prepared at the very essence of your being. And that means you have to open yourself up. You have to be vulnerable. You have to allow God to get into those inner recesses of your life and confront you and help you and prepare you. Otherwise, for sure, you'll fall. For sure, you'll be evil. You'll do awful, horrible things eventually if you don't allow God to sink into your heart. You don't allow him to be there at the depths of who you are. And so, again, this is something that Rehoboam never learned.
More on that tomorrow as our study in 2 Chronicles develops with Pastor Dave Roth. That's next time on The Balanced Word, a presentation of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up, my soul. Wake up. Wake up my hands and